Good morning and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a very special person in our lives, and that is our dad. And my guest today, Stuart Gustafson, well, he has got some very special things to share with us. And Stuart is a guest that I have had before on my programming, and this book really touched me very specially because it is a book, when you read it, that may enable you to get some answers to questions from your dad that you never, ever expected. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna.
What prompted you to put this delightful book, Questions to Bring You Closer to Your Dad, together? I mean, this is about ways that you can start a conversation with your dad and the whole family can get involved. Why? Why did you want to do this? And, of course, Father's Day is coming up in a little bit of time, but what was it that motivated you to put this together?
Well, it was a piece of tragedy that made me do it. When I was 16, and that was actually quite a few years ago, both my father and grandfather were killed by a drunk driver. And so I realized I was not going to be able to get these answers and to know about them. And so I just started writing down some questions that I would like to have been able to ask them, to know more about them.
Now, when did you start doing this? Because this book is something that's it's been a while. I mean, you had really had to do some pretty serious thinking to be able to put this format together.
I did. And, of course, I have a fantastic co-author in Robin Friedman Spiesman. But I started this actually a little over 2 years ago.
Now, Stuart, you're an author, a mathematician, a computer scientist, and also a university professor. So this is what I'd call a tender side, a tender spot of expression that you are sharing with people.
Right.
And for some reason, maybe it's just a social environment, most people don't really look at dads the way they do moms, unless dad has been a stay-at-home mom and has been the one that's been doing a lot of things otherwise that mom normally would do but isn't because she's a working mom. You've got this very special process that people can go through, and I really, really liked it. And we'll talk about some of it. Talk about the hats in life that a dad can wear. You start off with it right at the beginning of your book.
Well, the things that the dads can do is, you know, he's the one who encourages us. I mean, if you've been a dad, you haven't, Donna, but I have. And, you know, our dads, when we played baseball, he's the one who's out there encouraging us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches us. He motivates us to do so many things. And really, foremost, he's the rule maker in most households. And that's why you touched on it a little bit ago. It's difficult to have those conversations because he's the one who set down the rules, and so therefore it's hard to just have a conversation that you would have with a friend.
I think that is so true, and what I really liked about your book is something that I feel is very significant. When we have members in our family, we're so busy with the process of living. When you're growing up as a kid, you're going to school, you're involved with your friends, your projects, and you never look at your parents as individuals that have their own stories. And usually you hear bits and pieces when you're growing up about the family. Sometimes it's the negative people in the family you hear more about. But usually mom and dad are not someone that you really ask too much of. Now, moms often will do a lot of talking, you know, express a lot of information about family. But with dads, you don't get that necessarily. And so many people I've known that as their parents have gotten older, they'll all of a sudden realize, I really don't know anything about them. Just yesterday I was talking with a woman who has an elderly member of her family who's 90-some-odd years old, and she said this woman is having flashbacks into a time she was born in around the early 1900s. And she said here she is having these flashbacks, making statements about things that nobody even thinks of today, but it was part of her life. And nobody's taken time to ask questions.
Well, and that's so true, and especially with Dad. I mean, most people, if you ask them, you know, they'd know their dad's favorite brand of car, or you know, what he liked to eat, or his color, or if he was a fisher, you know, where'd he like to go fish. But you know, that's nice. It's nice information, but you really want to get down deep inside and understand who he really was. What was it that he valued? Because yeah, much as you like it or not, you are what he was or what he is.
Now, this book is a hands-on book, and it's a great book for a family, especially, I think, for kids in the family. If a mom were to hand it to him and say, hey, go ask your dad some of these questions. See what he tells you. And write them down. There's a gentleman I know that has made it his life's purpose to be able to work with families so that they can record the stories of the family. And that's part of what your book does. You want, we've got a section we're going to talk about dad's life, family history, values, marriage, relationships, dreams, goals. You've got all of these wonder and more different aspects that you are going to present. Now, you mentioned the family gathering, and you bring out a point that a young person should write out some of the questions on their own paper. Well, you don't have to be young to do this, really. You can be of any age if you want to get some answers. Now, maybe Dad is not going to want to answer them for you, but if you don't have an idea of the kinds of questions you'd like to ask, how can he?
Right, and you start off with just one or two. I mean, you wouldn't want to take this book, and there's about 120 questions, and just say, okay, Dad, we're going to sit down and we're going to go through these.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's not the point. The point is not how quickly, you know, can one person get these filled out, because for some people, the particular question might not really be, you know, applicable or appropriate. But it really is to open that dialogue and get people talking, because Dad will talk to other men, and he will say more about his life than he will to his own family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes back to a little earlier discussion. Well, he's the provider. He's the one who's, you know, again, in most cases, there's always situations, but the one who is generally brought the food home to the family, and he's been the rule maker. So you just can't break down that parent-child hierarchy very well. But if you have something, just say, hey, Dad, I'm starting on a new project. I'd like to ask a couple of questions. Do you mind?
Mm-hmm. And if you are a mature individual and want to do this with your elderly father, this is a great thing to do. Because if you have grandkids, nieces and nephews that you think might be interested in some of this information, it's a great way to put together a type of scrapbook of information, if you will. Talk about the different characteristics of Dad. You have a chapter just on that.
Well, there's so many different types of Dad, and we've defined 18 different types. And basically, I won't try to run through all of them, but I'll highlight a couple of them. But depending on the type of dad that he is, then that will tell you how you approach him, how you begin a conversation. So, for example, a career-driven dad is one who really focuses on long-term relationships and long-term situations. And so he's a straightforward person, and the best way to start a conversation with him is just very direct approach. Hey, Dad, I'd like to talk with you. Now, a service-minded dad, and that's what I really think that my dad was. Not just because he was in the Navy, but he really cared about helping other people do things. And that's the thing about a service-minded dad. He gives his time and skills and energies so others can benefit. Mm-hmm. It's not just writing a check, but he's there helping them. And so, a way to begin a conversation with him is, hey, Dad, I saw something about this organization in the paper. Have you worked with them? Have you done something with them? So it kind of gives him that ability to link in. Now, the book is not all nice and not all rosy. I mean, there are there's a few types of dads that you don't really want to acknowledge, but they exist, and one of them is a difficult dad.
Oh, I was just going to bring that up.
Oh,
there are
yeah.
some of them out there that they don't want to talk to their spouse, much less their kids.
Well, and you know, there could be a lot of things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be family situations. It could be work situations. I mean, it could just, it could be so much. And it's a shame that, that, but it does happen in life. We know that. But we're not going to dwell on it a whole lot. But you have to understand that this dad is the one who really needs that relationship with you the most. You might wonder, you might question yourself, well, why am I even trying? But understand, he is dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so with him, you just have to take a humble approach and just say something like, gosh, Dad, I've got some things I'd like to talk with you about. Do you have some time?
Mm-hmm.
That lets him know that you're not threatening him. If he says no or just, well, not now, okay, great, thanks. But he, you know, he knows you want to talk with him.
I know you have a chapter here on asking questions about your dad's life. And I think that that is one chapter that was especially significant to me, because when I think about my own dad, who passed away a number of years ago, but when I think about him, he came from the old country, Italy, and he came over, you know, I knew a little bit about his coming over to this country, how he got here. But again, I can recall when I was growing up, that wasn't something that I even would talk about. He just didn't want to discuss it. And it was just not done in our home. And I look back on it now, being a mature adult, and thinking, wow, I wonder if there were some stories that could have been told. If someone wants to investigate, and especially if you have an older member of the family, this is so important, because family genealogy may mean something to you in a very unique and special way, and this is a good way to find out about a lot of the history of your parent.
Uh-huh.
So what suggestions would you give to ask, you know, as far as your dad goes? You've got a number of them here in your book, but let's just pull out a couple. Is that the question someone would ask to find out about what dad's life is all about?
Yeah, well, one, I think a fun one, and it rates pretty high up when we've just asked people, you know, what were some of the favorites, is can you share some of the earliest memories of your birthdays? You know, because that puts him back to a time of, you know, boyhood innocence, you know, and youth, and the things that you did. I mean, even my birthdays are so different than they are, birthdays are today for young children, and so taking him back there is like a walk down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll see, you know, the eyes maybe glaze over a little bit, and you'll see him just kind of drifting off into a wonderful area that may open up a conversation you know, about his parents, about his friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and that's even part of it too. It's, you know, if you could go back there, you know, who would be some friends that you would want to go visit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, values. You made a point earlier about how Dad sets the rules. How are we going to talk to Dad about values? What kinds of questions would you ask, and why is that so important?
Well, why it's so important is your values are probably came from him. Now, you could say, whoa, I don't want those. Well, again, you know, there's always going to be that small percentage where that's going to be the case. But what he valued were the core things that allowed him to make the right decisions. And one question is, what are a couple of things you want me to be certain of to know or to understand as I go through life? And I remember one thing my dad told me. There's not a whole lot I do remember because it's been a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing he told me was, son, if you always tell the truth, you only have to remember one story.
Good words of wisdom.
Yes. I mean, it's like, whoa, okay. Yeah, have I lived a perfect life? Of course not. But, you know, it is so true. If you're telling the truth, you don't have to, oh, did I tell this person this? Did I tell that person that? No. You tell the truth, and that story is always there. But another one is, how do you handle life when things just feel overwhelming? So what is his source of motivation? What is his source of inspiration that keeps him going? And you might find that in his generation, it was just a work ethic that they had. In our generation, it may be something different. Maybe today it's just a self-inner drive to keep things going along. But I think one that really tells about him is, can you share the memories of a time when you spoke up for someone and did a good deed? You know, when you kind of went out of your way and helped someone else and supported them.
Those are very, very good questions to ask. And, of course, I know our listeners can bring up even more questions. My guest today is Stuart Gustafson. Questions to bring you closer to Dad, 100-plus conversation starters for fathers and children of any age. Now, what's so nice about this book, if you have a dad and you would love to put together something special for him, this is a wonderful way to begin, because I can't tell you how many times I've encountered people whose father has passed away, and there are so many questions, just like Stuart found, that you would have liked to have asked your dad, but he's not here to answer them for you. And nobody really can answer the questions as clearly or maybe as truthfully as the individual can, as your dad can. And what a wonderful legacy you'd be able to pass on to someone else. And I think that's part of what this book is all about, is finding out what that legacy is, good, bad, or indifferent. It is something that can really mean a lot to you. And also, it's going to make a difference with how you see your parent. Especially as you get older, you realize that there are a lot of things that maybe your parent did that you just didn't understand because you didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. You just didn't have a clue. That brings up another portion of your book, and this is about marriage and relationships. Now, that is something, when you're talking with a dad about that, how many times is a father even going to be asked that question?
Not very often, and that really is a tough one. Because it's almost like you're saying, let me into your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is almost what it's like. But again, this would not be where you would jump into the book, you know. But by the time you've gotten there, he knows you're going to want to talk about so many different things of his life. And the reason that you're wanting to know about this is that it tells you, again, the things that he values, not just in his own life, but his life with mom, with friends. And we know the situation is that some dads are remarried. Well, we have ways of asking about that, too.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you can have that kind of an open conversation with a dad, it is really quite an experience, because many times, I believe, and Stuart, you can correct me, but I think men are often told that it's better for them to be stoic, just to have the stiff upper lip, and, you know, keep a false front up and don't ever divulge anything. I mean, my goodness, I've met so many men through the years that is the persona that they have developed with their families. So to be able to crack that persona is really significant. I think one of the best chapters that you have in here, it's my bias, is asking about dreams and goals. And for me, when I was going through it, I thought, no, this is something that if you could maybe start with this section, depending on the type of dad that you have, then this enables you to find out a lot about the person, because maybe there's been dreams and goals that they've had that they'd love to see realized. And, you know, if you find that out, maybe you could help them fulfill that in some way. But this is really a very special chapter.
Well, it is, because part of it is that it allows him to relive hopefully some good parts of his growing up, because his generation is different than our generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was depression, whether it was through war times, whether it was you go on with a company and you're going to put in your 35 to 40 years and you're going to retire from that same company. But, you know, he had dreams and goals, and what were those? The real key in this section is don't be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
His dreams and goals would probably seem very, very minor compared to yours, because of the generation. You know, dreams and goals today, people are saying, I want to be retired when I'm 35, or I want to own this house here, or we're going to do this, we're going to do this. His dream and his goal probably was, I want to, you know, have a nice life, you know, for my family, and we'll occasionally take some vacations, but it was a whole lot different, and
mm-hmm.
it's generational, so that you really cannot be judgmental.
No, when I was going through this book, I thought, gee, if a person had more than one copy of this book, and they were able to do this with their dad, and then as they became a dad, you know, then they were able to do it, what a tremendous, tremendous amount of information that would be to pass on to grandchildren, great-grandchildren, uh-huh. and bringing that into context, let's talk about dad's vision for his kids. Now, lots of times when you're growing up, you're given dictums by your dad. This is what you're going to do. But maybe we don't always understand why he is so demanding or why he wants us to reach a certain goal. That's sort of a tough positioning to come into to ask about when you are, let's say, an older individual and maybe there's been some conflict about what dad wanted and maybe what you wanted.
Well, it is, and I don't know any parent who has not wanted, you know, their children to have a better life than they did. And it wasn't because they necessarily had a bad life, but it's just that, it, again, is part of parenting. And I don't know any parent who has said, you know, that their children could have gotten better grades. It didn't matter if they got straight A's, you know, they could have gotten better grades, or they could have done more community work or something like that. And so that it's a hard one because dads especially feel the children can do so much more. And so you can ask some questions, though, is, you know, was there one thing that you wanted me to be better at than you were? And so you're not trying to, you know, compare or put him down, but was there something that I was doing that you were doing that, and you really felt I could do it better? And so you're digging really underneath that skin and asking him to come on out and just tell you what was it, as you said, is what was that driving force for all the things that he did.
You have another portion here where you say, who knows dad best? And I think for many people, they probably would want to start with that. I don't know that for sure, but I think that that's a good way to find out a lot about a person. I think of a family member that I learned more about from the relatives because there wasn't that open door of communication for a number of years. And my goodness, the insights that I got, the various perceptions that people had were really quite insightful because none of them were really wrong. They were just sometimes very different.
Yeah, the questions in this particular section really are the type that you are supposed to go out and ask other people. And was it somebody your dad worked with? Was it or even works with today? Is it a neighbor? Do your parents take vacations with people? And so you ask questions, you know, how did you meet dad and what was the circumstance? And all you're really trying to do is just, again, you're rounding out all that knowledge that you've been gathering. Do you have some special memories of him? Was there a time that my dad helped you? Just so, again, you're asking other people, and here is where you can jot these down or, you know, make copies of some pages, send them to people, and ask them to, you know, help you as you're gathering this information. Because the key is you want to get the information today before it's too late tomorrow.
I agree with that. And that, in turn, brings us up to a section where you talk about dad's legacy. And part of that is, when you're able to do this, is that you're creating a legacy. And maybe you'd be able to surprise him with that legacy of information as a gift. But finding out what he really would like to be remembered for is very important. And like you say, it's so necessary to be able to talk to them and to get that information. I think of how little we know about the people that are closest to us because so frequently we're so busy with the business of life, we don't want to ask. And like you, at the age of 16, when you lost both your dad and your granddad at the same time, that can leave quite a hole in your life, especially if you were close to them and then they're gone and you can't answer the questions or ask the questions that they can answer. And I like what you say before the end of a day, always tell someone that you love them. Uh-huh. And I think that that is so very, very important. What legacy did your dad leave you?
I think just a legacy of love and caring for his family and knowing that he gave his best at everything that he did. He was concerned about other people, and he was so friendly. He'd be someone that didn't matter where he was or what was going on, people would come up. He felt comfortable talking with people. Everyone felt comfortable talking with him. I think some days, you know, am I living up to him?
Mm-hmm.
That's always a tough battle, too, you know.
It is, but I think it's a wonderful way that you are showing that you care, and more than that, that your father did leave a very important legacy, a standard, a series of values, because obviously you're emulating them. Your book, Questions to Bring You Closer to Dad, I think is part of that expression. And this is 100-plus conversation starters for fathers and children of any age. And not only can it help you document perhaps a lifetime of memories that your dad has had, but it will enable you to develop conversations that maybe you never, ever thought you could experience. Stuart, what is your website that people can go to find out more about this?
My website is real simple. It's stuartgustafson.com. That's StuartGustafson.com. And have information about the book there, as well as ways to order it from Amazon or directly from me. And you can still get it autographed and have it in time for Father's Day.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Again, StuartGustafson.com. That's spelled StuartGustafson.com. Stuart, it's been an absolute delight having you as a guest. Happy Father's Day to you. And we are so pleased you were able to share this wonderful publication. It's just come out, from what I understand. And this is just a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. It's been my pleasure.
Have a fabulous Father's Day. And for those of you that are listening, we're going to be coming back in just a moment. We've got lots of good things to share, so don't you go away now. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Siebel. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Siebel's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Siebel's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Siebel and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel, and our phone lines have now been opened up. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do that. Here in the U.S. of A, it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're calling in from Canada or would like to, we have a toll-free number for you to utilize, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line for everyone else, which is 530-876-3222. And we have three more signs of the zodiac where I have to give you your summer horoscope. This is so much fun. I just love doing this because it's light, it's easy. I am not a sophisticated when it comes to astrology, so I don't go there. But I love to do the generalizations, and this one is for Pisces. We're going to be talking about Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So you all know who you are. Pisces, for June, July, and August. Well, June, hey, stretch your stuff. Get those talents out there. Let people know what you're good at, because if you do, you're going to be asked to do certain things. And, you know, whatever you do, you take a great deal of pride in doing well. Trust your first impressions about people and conditions during this month of June. You're going to find your intuition is working overtime. Use it. But don't be afraid to take your light out from underneath a bushel basket. Hide your talents. I know we've got a caller, but I'm going to finish the rest of Pisces. I'll go to the caller. July for Pisces, if you are wanting to get married, well, you might find there's going to be that special happening occurring this month. Also, you're going to find that if you have a special someone in your life, if you're a Pisces, it's going to be a deeper, deeper connection with them. In August, for the sign of Pisces, you might be moving. Could be a real special change that you've been working towards for a long, long time. You might find it's going to be related to work, or maybe you're wanting this super colossal change and you're just pulling up stakes and moving into a whole new environment. When you're wanting to do that, just know that August is a good month to do it. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from, please?
Jay. Jay, and I'm driving. I'm on Highway 5.
Oh, my goodness. Where are you calling from, Jay? What state?
California.
From California. What general area?
Northern California is where I live.
Northern California. Well, welcome, and aren't you brave by driving while you're talking on a cell phone? Holy Moses.
Oh, no, I'm not driving at this moment. No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, good. I'm glad. I am glad. Okay, Jay, let's see what we can get for you here. First thing, I want you to listen carefully. Because there is someone that you really care for a lot. And at this moment, I can't tell whether it's a family member or if it is a very good friend. But they're going to be just yabbering all over the place. And you're going to say, what is the matter with this person? They're just not, you know, having a conversation that I can follow very well. If you will just listen, don't interrupt them. Just let them go on and on and on. Something of a very emotional nature has occurred. I have a feeling, in fact, I'm getting a picture in my mind of a woman. Now, it's difficult for me to determine her age. Could be a young woman, could be middle-aged. I'm not sure, but she is just not communicating. It's like she's talking in circles. So you need to let her just sort of get it all out, and then if you haven't put the pieces together, say, I want you to tell me what's really going on, because what you're discussing or what you're talking about, I feel like I'm on a mental lazy Susan and my head's spinning. What's happened?
Well, that's probably the right situation. It is a woman and someone very close, and we are going round and round because we don't disagree. I can't get... actually, it's too emotional for me also. Even to talk about.
Well, let me make this recommendation, because what I was getting is, be a good listener. Don't try to fix it. Just be a good listener, because this individual is trying to run away from dealing with a particular action that must be taken. And consequently, there is this churning, that's the word that I will use, that just keeps mucking up the works. And what is happening with this individual It's almost as if the situations surrounding this person are a replay of something she went through a long time ago. And so the replay of the old stuff is getting mixed in with what's going on today, and there's no clarity. There's just emotional anxiety, which is going to bring a lot of confusion. So
yes.
I really would encourage you to be the listener. Don't try to fix it. Just listen. Don't be judgmental. Just listen.
Okay.
If the person says to you, by golly, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it, and you go, I cannot do that. I can't do it because I'm here as a friend, and I'm here to support you in the best way I can. I cannot resolve this for you. And leave it with them. Because if you take it on, then you're not going to be able to maintain the positioning of being a friend. You're going to feel like you have to be the caretaker. And this person needs your friendship more than anything else.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, very much so.
And does it help?
Yes, it does, very much so.
Now, did you have a question for me?
Well, just I'm also involved in something else that's a challenge that I've taken on, and I... I think I know the outcome. It's just that it's taking so much time and effort, and that every day it's one step forward, two steps backwards.
What's your question, dear? What did you want to ask me?
That's the question. I mean, it's the outcome.
All right. You're going to need to be a little bit more specific with me, because you've got actually four different situations going on simultaneously.
Yeah. Just I'm in the... I shouldn't have done this. I waited to call you, and I called you, and I was early, so I had to wait and call back, and I was getting gas, so now I'm having a problem with that. They told me to call back, and I did, and I waited, but I have to get gas.
Well, you go right ahead. That's all fine. That's
so
fine.
Now we got it. We're okay. Now I can...
Okay. This is live radio, folks. Anything goes on radio. So she's gotten all gassed up here, so she's all ready to go. What's your direct question to me?
Well, my question was I've taken on a position. I mean, it's a challenge to me, and I'm working on it, and it's two steps backwards and one step forward, and that's one of the reasons I'm driving and going to down south to handle the situation. And I think I'm just looking for a little encouragement that everything's fine.
Well, everything isn't fine. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking the question.
Well,
so
what you've got
is a particular composite in your head of information. And what I would say to you is you are missing a couple of points of detail. When you get to your destination, you should have in your mind a very clear listing of questions that will have the ability to get the clarification that you need, so you're not dealing with assumptions. You are dealing with what really needs to be dealt with. No assumptions. You have someone around you that plays word games all the time around this situation you're mentioning. So you don't want to let somebody distract you because of their capacity of using words as a distraction. You want to really have clarity, deal with the facts, and I think it's going to actually resolve itself. But it's only going to be resolved with clarity, no assumptions.
Well, that gives me an ease now, thinking of it in that respect.
Wonderful.
So I really thank you very much. This has been an interesting experience. Getting the gas in the middle of the conversation. Also, I was told by someone very close, and someone whose feelings and thoughts I appreciate, that I should listen to you, and that's why I made this stop.
Well,
that I could, and t-
That's wonderful, and I'm so glad. So if you have a chance to, you know, tune into the program in the future, just know that this, and tell your friends about it, too.
I certainly will, and thank you again.
You're very welcome, dear. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat to me with me the way Jay did, all you have to do is call me, and U.S., the telephone number is 877-876-5227. For Canadians, it's 888-815-9756, and also we have another line of 530-876-3222. Now, by the way, we're always interested in your feedback. We'd like to know what kind of programming you'd like to see and hear via the Internet, because bbsradio.com is always striving for excellence, and we want to be able to provide that to you. So don't forget, we have a comment button on bbsradio.com, and if you have a comment about programming or anything that you hear, send us a note. We want to hear what you think and how you feel. Also, if you'd like to contact me, if you've got a wonderful story or if you've got a special joke or you have a recipe that you know the world would love to know about, hey, just send it to me, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Also, on my website, the newsletter for this month is up. And you can go to DelphiInternational.com, go over to the buttons on the left, tap on newsletter, and there it will be in all of its glory with all the listing of the guests that we have coming up for this month. And they're also listed on bbsradio.com as well. Okay, let's go on with the horoscope because we have two signs left. We have Capricorn and Aquarius. So I'm going to go to Aquarius next. This is for June, July, and August. For those of you born under the sign of Aquarius, you are just going to have so much love in your life. It's just going to keep you smiling and beaming all month. Also, you've got to remember that you're going to have to be adaptable when it comes to work. You're going to have a lot going on, and that is something that could make you a little stressed. But, you know, you'll have an opportunity for many vacations this month if you so desire. Now, during the month of July, work is not going to be so pressured, and you're going to find after the 10th of the month it should become pretty stable. Lots of good things happening. I know we've got another caller, but I'm going to go and finish up with Aquarius for the month of August. You may find an additional source of income for yourself. How does that sound? After the 6th of August, because of some things that are going to be going on around you. Also, you need to get out more socially. You have an opportunity to build your circle of friends, and that is always a good thing. Let's go to our next caller who's waiting on the line. Thank you for doing so. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name's Emma, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Emma, wonderful San Francisco, one of my favorite places on this planet. I just think it's gorgeous. I just love it there. Okay, Emma, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at, Emma, is that you have got a number of decisions that are facing you. In fact, the next couple of months, there is, I feel, a lot of paperwork that's going to be on your platter of life, and you're going to have to prioritize things. You're also in a mood for major change. You could want to remodel your home that you're living in. You may decide you want to build a new work area that would be your office, redefine what is in your home, reorganize, move furniture, paint. I mean, there's just this awareness that I have of you being in action, in motion. It's as if I don't want things to stay the same. They get stagnant. They're boring to me. I want to be able to shake things up a bit. I want to have a new look. Well, I think that that is really good for you because that's just who you are. And I think the use of color is very important. You're even looking at your wardrobe. How do you want to create a new image for yourself? How do you want people to view you? How do you want to feel about what you wear? There's a lot going on inside of you. And with the decisions that I'm seeing that are having to be dealt with over these next couple of months, you know that you must stay completely focused, and you're right on the money. You're absolutely correct. So follow and do what you know you need to do for yourself because your capabilities, your capacity for good judgment is excellent. I don't see that you are in any way a waffling willy and under any circumstances. So you really are a person that when you set your mind to a task, it's very hard to get you off of it. You are that disciplined when you make up your mind. So I think you've got a lot to take care of. I think your decisions, you will be very thorough with them. And you've learned how to ask questions. And this is especially valuable for you because your financial positioning you're really going to want to work with. And you've got some agendas that you want to see fulfilled relative to finances, and that's very positive for you. So keep on keeping on. I think you're doing a good job. What did you have a question about today?
Well, in that aspect, you kind of answered it, because today I was looking at two potential business options, and so you know how the doors close, but then I guess you make a left or you make a right. Keep going. I want to say that the gentleman who talked about his dad and had written that book was very touching to me.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. I'm so glad. It is a fabulous book. Why did it touch your heart?
Well, my dad passed away when I was 20, and he came through the Depression, and he was in World War II, and he never wanted to talk about his life because it was so painful for him. So,
oh, yes.
Yes, and I was wondering, does my dad have any message he wants to give me? Is that something that, you know, you can...
Sure, give me your dad's first name.
Robert.
Okay, when you give me his name, I'm very much aware of him having his hand on your shoulder. And what he is saying, and it's as if he sort of stays close to you and another member of your family. He apparently was quite protective about the women. But his attitudes about women and education were far ahead of his generation. He really was a man that, if he had lived long enough, would have been a very, very strong supporter of women being independent, women having their own income and establishing their own financial wealth. And what I'm getting in my mind is that he wants you to have the confidence to build up your asset so that as a mature woman, then you will have the freedom to do the writing and the presenting and the traveling you want to do. There's something involving younger people. I don't see them, you know, like under the age of 19, but I'm seeing young adults.
Okay.
And it's as if he sees something that you want to achieve with them in the form of mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're really going to be able to enjoy doing that is that if you have the economic independence that you want.
Okay.
And so you're young enough to be able to do that, and I just see this very strong hand. Your father's fingers appear to be rather thick to me.
Pardon me? I missed that?
Your father's fingers?
Yes, they are.
Very thick fingers. And when I see his hand on your shoulder, it's as if his hand covers your whole shoulder. It's on your left shoulder.
Okay.
His right hand on your left shoulder. His hand just is that, you know, it's very, the fingers are thick, his palm is wide.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, it has that strength, and that's what he's wanting to convey. And there's two words that he gives. He said, nothing's lost. And why they have a significant meaning, I don't know. But he said, nothing's lost.
Okay, great. Well, I really appreciate that a lot, and pretty much what you said is right on as far as his physical attributes, what they were, why he was still alive. So I really, really appreciate that.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And I thank you for the comments, and I appreciate your calling into the show and tell your friends about it. And if you have a comment about the show, please put it in on the BBS comment site if you're right up on the site right now. Or send me a comment to Donna at DelphiInternational.com because we'll post it.
Oh, great. Bless you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Emma.
Okay.
This is Donna Sebo, and gee whiz, we're going to just keep on moving along. I didn't take a break. I got busy talking, so we're just going to keep on going until just about the top of the hour. And if you'd like to call me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Okay, last sign for the summer horoscope. And you can give me a buzz if you want, that's fine, but I'm going to finish this last sign because it takes care of the whole 12 houses. Capricorn is the last one. June, July, and August for all of you happy little Capricorns out there. You're going to find your marriage, if you're married, is going to be a real bright spot in your life after the 21st of this month. And if you've got a significant other in your life, that's going to be the same. And you know what? You're going to find you have the patience to deal with a lot of work stress. You're going to be able to handle it with ease. Capricorns are really hardworking people. Also, in July, you need to follow your hunches about short-term investments. Your ESP is going to be working overtime during the month of July, especially with money. And don't be surprised if you have an opportunity to do what you would consider an exotic trip. By the way, take it. Don't wait until you're 65 or 70. Go for it. The month of August for you Capricorns, well, take it easy after the 7th. You know, you have a tendency to really be a workaholic. So you want to make sure that you give time to yourself. Take some time for reading. Read books that make you feel good or make you laugh. Do something for yourself that's going to enable you to lighten up on your life a little bit so that you can just really enjoy the latter part of summer and then some. Well, there we go. That's the full spectrum on the zodiac. Donna Siebel here. If you'd like to give me a call, 877-876-5227 is the number. For Canadians, 888-815-9756. And also we have another line, 530-876-3222. Well, I want to let you know our guests that are going to be coming up for the remaining part of this week. We're going to be talking tomorrow with Mark Doherty, Dog Years. We've got some fun stories we're going to be able to share with you. And then, if you're interested in leadership, this is a must-read. Bill George is going to be my guest. True North is the title of his wonderful publication. This is a man that was the former CEO of Medtronic, which is one of the leading medical companies in the world. They develop heart valves and all kinds of things that enable people to live rich, productive lives. Fascinating, fascinating perspective of leadership that I know you'll enjoy. Melissa Posh is going to be my guest on Friday. We're going to be talking about 1,000 Little Bites. Wonderful woman, wonderful story. I know you will enjoy them all, and I want you to tell your friends because we want them to know about these great people. And don't forget, here at BBS Radio, we also archive programmings, and you don't have to miss one of the shows. If you do, not able to listen between the hours of 3 to 4 here Pacific time when I'm on the air, you can go in and you can listen to it later on. So just know that that's what we like to provide to you, that opportunity to hear the programming that you enjoy so much. Donna Siebel here, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, before we close out the hour, I just thought we'd go in for something on the food side. What is your favorite snack? What's your favorite snack? Well, they do research in what is it that you like to eat. What kind of a personality do you have? Food preferences and personality types. Well, let's find out what's all about you. Did you know that many of our taste preferences are shaped by what our moms ate when we were in the womb? That's true. They find that what a mother eats has a direct impact on a child, and it's often its favorite foods. Now, if you're not a pregnant mother-to-be, then what you want to find out is a little bit about yourself. Well, if you love to dig into candy, something, let's say, very, very sweet, well, then that means you're an optimist. You have usually people that have a sweet tooth see life as a sweet situation. And this comes from a Dr. Hirsch, who is one of these people that has done some of this research, and he said it is really fun to do. No kidding. Well, you know, these people that like real sweet things, any road you take will likely lead to satisfaction. And you know, I am looking at the fact that we've run out of time. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be back tomorrow. And you know what? I'll do this. I'll give you the rest of the scoop on the sweet stuff and some other things. To find out what your personality is like, you're going to have to tune in tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful day. And life is sweet. enjoy all of its gifts. It's what you have today. Get the best, only the best. You deserve it. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.